move, you have to walk. So let's look at the book of Deuteronomy.
It's nice, eh?
Okay.
The word Deuteronomy means the second law. The second law. The word Deuteronomy means the second law. Which tells the nature. The nature of the book is the repetition, the repeat, or the repetition of the law. Most of the contents mentioned in Deuteronomy were mentioned in Leviticus, were mentioned in Exodus, even in the book of Numbers. So there's nothing new here, not much, nothing new in the book of Deuteronomy. So we can say, give us a theme, looking back and moving forward. When was the book written? It was written in about 1406 BC. Because Exodus happened around 1446 BC. It's the year they left Egypt. So they spent 40 years wandering the wilderness. They were about to land the land of Canaan. So the book dated 1406. So this year was generally accepted. How they calculate it, I won't mention it, but usually they use the year, they dedicate a temple, and then push it back. So the year 1446 is they left Egypt. So they have traveled 40 years, 1406, they are about to enter the land of Canaan. The structure of the book. The first one is there are totally two addresses. Moses. The first address of Moses was recorded chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 4, verse 43. So this is the very first long speech of Moses. I'm not sure that if Moses did it in one day. If he did it in one day, the speech would be very long. Like a few hours. I'm not sure whether they did in one go. But anyway, the book organized that the first address, the first speech. Actually, they are totally three, not two. The second one. The second address is chapter 4, verse 44. To chapter 5. To chapter 28. The end of chapter 28. So the second one was even longer. If Moses did it one go, he used 5 hours, I think. 6 hours. The third one, the third address of the book of Moses is chapter 29 to 33. So Moses may be a little bit tired now, so he speaks shorter. So this is his third address. And lastly, the last chapter, 34, is Moses' death. After he finished his speech, he died. And of course, God buried him. God took care of his funeral. This part was supplemented by someone else and later combined into the book of Deuteronomy. So, three structure. Three sessions of the speech and then last recording of his death. The theme of the book, the theme verse, we can say is in chapter 6, verse 4. Next, please. Chapter 6, verse 4.
Chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
5.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength.
Okay, underline these two words. These two verses are regarded the summary of the law. The summary. The summary of the law of Moses. There are so many ordinances. there are so many commandments in the Old Testament. We can see the word commandment, law, and also what do you call it, ordinances, or in different words call it commandments. Let's read chapter 5 verse 31. Please read chapter 5 31. Okay, slowly. Commandment, and then what? Statutes, and then what?
Judgment.
Okay. Depends on the English version that you use. Some use the words commandment, law, or ordinances, or decrees. They use different words for these three sections.
Right.
But really doesn't matter. Commandment is the Ten Commandments. The second part is about worship. The third part is really about the clean or unclean. What you can touch or what you cannot touch. So basically the law or the festival. So you can divide the law of Moses into three parts. The major part, the core center, or the summary, the value is the Ten Commandments. But besides the Ten Commandments, you have lot of worship instruction, including festivals, offering sacrifices, priesthood, and then you have daily life, moral law, hygienic law, stuff like that. But if you want to give a summary, what is the summary or what is the core thinking of all this behind? It's chapter 6 verse 4. So in the Jewish people, every Sabbath they read this passage, they call it the Shema passage. It's called a Shema. Shema is a Hebrew word, means hear. Because this passage begins by saying, hear, O Israel. So God wants us to hear what He wants us to do. So this is a very good summary of the law. And Moses wants to repeat them to the people. Make sure they know the core value of the law. What is the core value of the law? First, actually the summary of law is love. The law was given not to control the people, but rather is to love the people. First, the law tells you must love God. Why do you do all this? Not only because you fear God, but because you love Him, because you want to make Him happy, so that to repay His love to you, from God to you. So that's why you ask the same question. Why do you want to keep yourself pure? Why you cannot commit fornication? Not because you cannot only. You think this way, right? Why do you keep yourself pure? Because God, Jesus loved me so much. I want to make Him happy. I want to please Him. I don't want Him to suffer one more time. I don't want Him to cry for me. So you keep yourself pure because you love God. Not because you have to do it. But because what? It's different between you have to, right? Not only because you have to, but because you want to. So how do you love God? You keep the Sabbath. You love God, not because you have to come, but because you love God, that's why you want to observe the Sabbath. Another summary of the law is to love man. Why you don't commit adultery? Why? Not because you go to hell. Of course, if you commit adultery, you go to hell. But why you don't do that? Because you love others. For example, you don't want your future wife to be trampled by another man, right? You don't want your future wife to sleep with another person, cause you hurt, isn't it? Because if your wife is unfaithful to you, or your husband is unfaithful to you, you feel so hurt. Then if you love that person, you will not do the harm to that person. For example, you don't want people to steal your computer. Then why you go to steal other people's possession? Right? You want that one day if you drop your wallet, somebody will return to the police so that you can get it back. Then why will you keep the wallet you pick up on the street? So do the same thing is a summary of the law. The summary of the law, even though it sounds so tedious or trivial, but all about love. So in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses repeats once again all these trivial, small and detailed commandments and ordinances, just to make sure people understand the core value. So the theme verse in chapter 6, verse 4. And you will hear that God is one. Or the law is one. So this is a very important statement. Let's read again verse 4. We can open the door now. I think they are finished. Let's explain a little bit about this verse. This is the core, the summary of the law. Verse 4 again, please read. Hear, O Israel. Thank you. The first thing is this message is your identity. Know your identity. Copy down is very important. This is the message, key message of the book. The point number one of this message, know your identity. You have to know you are Israel. You are not somebody. You are not somebody's children. Israel means what? The prince of God. Israel can mean the prince of God. You are different. You are born different. You are not just everybody. So that's why I don't ask. Why? Other people can go dancing and drinking and hang out and have boyfriend, girlfriend. Why I cannot? Because you are different. You are not just everybody's child. You are the child of God. So this is called identity. So think about what kind of identity you are carrying. Right? This is a very important question. In school, other people are having fun, doing crazy things, but why don't you join them? Right? Just like 2 nights ago, they're partying crazy. Last night, really thank God, there's nothing happened. But last night was too windy. So there's another kind of noise. But better than the heavy bass, and then all those partying going on, right? I asked a sister from Paris, how about Paris, and do they do the same thing, or you can even more crazy party animal? They said, well, they are the same. In Paris, the French, they even do it more. They have a lot of partying, a lot of drinking, lots of sexual immorality. Wow, storm, huh? I will give you 10 seconds to watch outside. After you watch enough, you come back. Yeah, you can have enough, huh? Watch it. Take a break. Imagine yourself, you're so blessed, right? You're not outside. You're in the house of God. This is the best place to hide from a storm. Okay, watch enough? Nothing new, huh? Okay, come back. If not enough, I'll give you another 10 seconds. Okay. So, she told me that, they also invite her to go to partying, dancing, crazy, but she said never join. I'm sure you never join too, you don't join too. Or maybe you join once, you should feel guilty if you join. Right, because you don't belong there. Write it down. You don't belong those places. It's not that you cannot go, okay? You can go if you want, nobody cares. But Jesus will care. Jesus will feel sad for you. You don't belong there. You don't belong to those dirty places. You don't belong to those indulgence area. You belong to the church. You belong to God. So, identity. Secondly, continue read please, verse 6. Sorry. Yeah, read louder, please. Verse 6. Sorry, verse 4. Verse 4. The Lord God is one. Underline this. One of the most important verses in the Bible. After you know your identity, you should know who you belong to. You should know who is your Lord. Your law means where you belong. Who is your master? Faith is about who you belong to. Those who do not believe in God, they belong to the world, they belong to the devil. But we belong to God. So you are not your own. You belong to Jesus. So that concept is so important. You are Jesus' children. You belong to Jesus. And after you know this, you have to continue to love the law, to practice the law, and to live a different life. So this is the core value of the book of Deuteronomy. The summary of the law, once again, repeat. Sometimes your mom may repeat, right? How many of you think your mom really repetitive every time your dad say the same thing over and over again? Mom, usually mom more repetitive or father, or they're both. Come on, man. Oh, just like a recording machine. Every time, play. Study hard. You know, do this, tidy your room. Everything. But why she repeats so much? Because she loves you. Right? And also second reason, why she repeats so much? Because you haven't done it. That's what she said, right? Because you haven't done it. That's why I repeat 10 times. You say, yeah, mom, you said 10 times. Of course I would say 10 times because you haven't done it yet. So why Moses have to repeat? Because people haven't done it. So, no choice, have to repeat. And of course, because Moses loved them. God loved them. It's so so draining to repeat and to repeat the same thing again to just nagging on the person. I know it's on the other side of the listener, it sounds very bad too, right? But for your mom to say it all the 10 times, she's also using a lot of her energy. So God, over time, repeat and repeat, but have do we hear? So basically, there's a theme of the book, is to repeat the law and confirm the loving relationship of the Lord to his people. To repeat the law and confirm the loving relationship between God and his people. Write it down. Huh? To repeat the law and to confirm it is a loving relationship. So, of course, you'll find a lot of places where the covenant will confirm. There's no new covenant, but the covenant will confirm here. Chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. Chapter 4, verse 13. Next. Chapter 4, verse 14. So Moses recollect 40 years ago how he went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And that commandment plus the ordinances, the decrees, so totally three parts. Chapter 5, verse 2. Next. Can you read louder, please? So this is the Mosaic Covenant. It's nothing new, it was recorded in Exodus, but this is a repetition and reminder. This is called the Mosaic Covenant, or we can call it the Covenant in Mount Sinai. So this is a reminding of the Covenant. And of course, in chapter 6, we just read, chapter 6 verse 4, is the summary of the covenant. The summary of this loving covenant. And then there are some duty. God said, I love you, you'll be my people. But God reminded them, Moses reminded them, what must you do to fulfill your part? In chapter 8, chapter 8, very famous verse, chapter 8, verse 2 to 3. Chapter 8, verse 2 to 3.
Let's see.
Underline verse 3, one of the most famous verse in the book of Deuteronomy. Why? Because who quoted it? Man does not live by bread alone. Who quoted it? Lord Jesus. When Satan tempted him to transform this bread, transform this stone to bread, Jesus used these words to counter devil's temptation. So why God gave them manna to eat? And why God let them suffer? Because God wants them to know, in order to live a life of fulfilling your covenant, you need my word. You need my teachings. Man needs more than bread alone. But we need the words of God. That's why you are here, young and energy, and also good memory. Now you study more the word of God. In the future, you will not get lost. Right? Yeah, you need a job. Definitely. You need to form a family. You need money to survive. But more than all those, you need the word of God to run this heavenly wilderness journey. So that's why your Bible should be your best companion. How many of you have the habit of reading Bible every single day? Anyone? If you have, don't look at others. If you read Bible every day, raise your hand. Every 2 days? Every 3 days? Every week? Not in the church, excluding the time when you're in the church, okay? That's not enough, brother and sister. Manna have to be ate. You have to eat manna every single day to survive. Right, for now, 3 weeks, 8 hours lecture every day. Just like you starve for 1 year and then come to eat buffet every day. What happened? You die, right? Now I can see some indigestion already. You listen. 6 preachers, 10 subjects, 3 weeks. I don't think you can handle it properly. But anyway, you're copying, I know, I really admire. But that is not enough. You cannot come here to eat buffet for 3 weeks and go back home to staff for 11 months. You indigestion is not helping you at all. Right? If you relying on listen to 3 weeks and then go home, you don't read Bible, your faith will never grow. Next year, come back the same. Or even weaker. You have to learn, really start your Bible reading schedule. No matter how busy you are, try to do this. Before you touch your computer or you use your iPad, every day, open the Bible, read it, few chapters. Make a determination to do that. If you cannot do that, you have no strength to carry on the faith. So man does not live by faith alone, by bread alone, but by every word. Another mention about covenant, chapter 9, verse 9. So the tablet of covenant. So the Ten Commandments is the tablet of the covenant. And chapter 11, verse 26. Next. I will set you before you, the blessing and curse. So this means I'll give you decision to make. Verse 29. So at that time, Moses set them in the two mountains. One is called Gerizim. One is called Ebaru. So basically, they say the law out. One is blessing. One is curse. So when the law was read, they have to say amen. The curse was read, you say amen. What does it mean? No matter it's bad, if it's a blessing or curse, it will happen. But you can make a choice. You are here. You can make a decision to change your destiny. You can decide whether your life is full of blessing by God, or you can make a decision, your life full of curse by God. This life and eternal life, it's all up to you. It's not preacher's decision. It's not even your mom's decision. Your mom and dad cannot carry you over to heaven. Don't tell mom, oh, put me at the back like a baby, carry through heaven. No, they can't do that. Preachers cannot do that either. We preach, whether you listen, it is your decision. You listen, you won't affect my commission or my profits, right? If you don't listen, it's your problem. I said it, all the preachers have said it, you don't do it, it's your problem. Nobody will cry for you if you know you are into hell. But we will be sad for a short while if you don't listen, but it's all you have to go through this. Moses do the same thing. I mentioned all the blessing, I mentioned all the curse, and you make a decision. And that will change your life. But sadly, Israel, they have chosen the bad part. They have chosen the wrong direction. They're so rebellious, they still want to rebel against God. That's why the nation, until today, they're still under curse. They're still under so much trouble, because they have chosen the wrong direction. Now, you are here. What are you going to choose? 10, 20 years from now, do we want to be a life of blessing? Marry in the church, have a family in Christ, whole family serving church? Or you want to go outside wandering around, getting lost, and doing nothing edifying? Or 50, 60 years from now, 70 years, you all old and die, do you want to end up in the real promised land? Or you want your soul to be burned in hell, waiting for judgment day? So it's all your decision. I think the book of Deuteronomy, ending it with this kind of invitation, is really amazing. That this is about life and death, and this is about you, decision. And today, what you're making the choice. Chapter 29, once again, verse 1. 29, verse 1. Next. Don't go bingo now. Back to the front, is it? Okay. 29, verse 1. Look at this map. They have gone through a journey from Egypt. Once again, the journey is supposed to last only a few months. Few months maximum. They'll walk the journey. If they keep walking, they'll have entered the land. But because of rebellion, they spent 40 years wandering around here. And now, Moses is all about to die. Joshua is about to take over. And then they are in the plan of Moab. They are about to cross the Jordan River. But before that happened, the law is repeated. So today is the same thing. You hear the teaching of the law so much, and most of the time it repeats. But it's about making your own decision. So this is about the book of Deuteronomy. Any question? If no question, we will go into the next book, the book of Joshua. Let's read chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Next. Next. The book of Joshua, the theme of the book, you can call it victorious living in God's promise. Because the book of Joshua is about action. It's about conquering. It's about fighting the battle and winning the battle. And why can they win? Because God promised them the land. Not because they are very capable of fighting. It's nothing to do with their capability, but because of God's promise. Through God's promise, they are able to claim the land that no one is able to do it. Because the land of Canaan were occupied by giants, by strategically powerful military people. They have chariots, they have metal, and they are fighter. They are born fighter. And they are head taller or two head taller than the Israelites. They have fort, they have castle, they have thick city walls. And Israel has nothing. They don't even have a very, very strong army. They don't even have a lot of support from other nations. But they can conquer the land. They spent about 7 years. 7 years. It's not 7 months or 7 weeks. Their campaign from beginning to the end, when they claim most of the part, took 7 years. So this is really amazing. But before they can claim the land, they have to mobilize the whole people, get them ready. Maximum mobilization before you can conquer the land. So how can we mobilize the people? Actually, before the people can be mobilized, the leader himself must be mobilized. The leader himself must be mobilized. If the leader is not mobilized, the people will not be mobilized. So in chapter 1, God mobilized Joshua. Leader is very important. If the leader is afraid, the people will be afraid. If the leader is not afraid, people will not be afraid. And that's why God just talked to Joshua, saying that, be not afraid. I'll be with you. In chapter 1, I'll be with you. It also be strong. So this is chapter 1. How the mobilization of leaders. Joshua, this word, Joshua. Joshua, of course, is a Hebrew word, which means the Lord save. In Hebrew, there's a variation of the name Joshua, including Hoshea, also is a variation of the same meaning. Joshua, actually, in Hebrew, is called Yahshua. Yah means Yahweh or Yehovah or the Lord. Yahshua. Yah, Josh means God or Yahweh. Shua means safe. So, in Greek, there's an equivalent term to Joshua or Yahshua. What is it called? There's an equivalent name of the same meaning in Greek. The name Joshua, what does it mean? Jesus, correct. Jesus is not a unique name for our Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, before Jesus was born, many people could be called Jesus. Even Jesus' time, in the time of apostles, there are some people called Jesus too. There were someone called Bar-Jesus in the book of Acts, right? This means the son of Jesus. Jesus was a common name, actually. But Jesus means, of course, later, because he's our Savior, so we think his name is unique. So, this name actually means the Lord saves. So Joshua actually is a prefiguration of Lord Jesus, of course. He's a perfect prefiguration. Jesus is the, he is our leader, he is our commander in chief, and he is the one who can lead us into the conquer of the spiritual land, to lead us into salvation. So that's why it's a perfect declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book can determine into three sessions. The first one is chapter 1 to 5. We can call it the preparation before entering the land. Everything needs preparation. If you don't prepare well, you go in, you just kill yourself. Before the campaign, you must prepare. So what kind of preparation are there? About leaders. Joshua himself must be prepared. About crossing Jordan River. About circumcision. All these have a lot of spiritual significance, of spiritual meaning. Preparation. Chapter 6 to 12 is talking about conquering. How they fought the first battle, how they won it, how they lose the second battle, which is supposed to be easier, and how they subsequently winning and winning because of God. How they follow God's instruction, though they continue to enjoy victory. The third part is chapter 13 to 34. It's dividing the land. They have occupied a majority chunk of the place of the land. But there are 12 tribes, there are millions of people. Where is each tribe going to live? How to decide where they're going to live? It's mentioned about how they cast lots and settle them all in the land of Palestine. So, this is how the book of Joshua can be divided into different sessions. And remember, every book in the New Testament is related to salvation. So God encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous, because you are going to lead the people, to redeem them, to occupy the promised land. So this is about the majority chunk of the book of Joshua. There's a few prefigurations about salvation. Chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Next. The story, we all know it very well. It's about how the spies went into the city of Jericho, and there was one prostitute whose name is Rahab who saved them. So this, the redemption or salvation of Rahab, prefigure one very important thing, is Gentiles will be saved. Write it down. Gentiles will be included in God's salvation plan. Before that, it never mentioned. Only the chosen people can be saved. But Rahab, the first one mentioned, a Canaanite woman, a sinner, so-called sinner, and she will be saved through faith, by obedience, by following the camp of Israel. She even was included in the genealogy of Lord Jesus Christ. So this is prefiguration of Gentiles will be saved. Chapter 2 verse 18. Next. Next. chapter 2, verse 18.
Joshua.
Yes, we are in the book of Joshua.
Unless when you go into the land, you find this land of scarlet wool, and when you bring it to you, it is bound, and unless you bring your father, you will be placed in the old place also to the old man.
Thank you, Adam. So, here tell us, you have to hang this red scarlet string on your door, and then you'll be safe. This is a prefiguration of salvation, the blood of Jesus. Because of that scarlet string hanging on the wall, your life will be spared. So there is a prefiguration of the salvation of Lord Jesus Christ. And there are still quite a few of many, but tomorrow we will continue. Okay, any questions so far? Okay, let's pray in silence. If you are 2 more minutes break time, then you have. Now you have 10 minutes, 12 minutes.